Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday afternoon. Listen, we're going to the phones right now. Alabama U.S. Senator Katie Britt is on the line with us. Senator Britt, how you doing?
Fall afternoon, and we certainly, there are no shortage of topics we could cover today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a target-rich environment for me having a conservative talk show.
It really is.
Hey, let me ask you this, just to segue off of what I've been talking about right before you came on. I just did an entire segment I called Smell the Fear. I really feel like you can sense a change in the momentum and that the Trump campaign seems to be having a good time. They seem relaxed and kind of laughing. And then the Democrats are having a complete, you know, come apart. I believe you can smell the fear on the Democrat side 18 days before the polls close. What do you think?
I could not agree with you more. Look, I'll rewind to a few weeks ago. I flew back to D.C. We were in Georgia for Faith and Freedom, J.D. Vance and I. And I flew back with J.D. to D.C. And in that conversation, J.D. said, look, I mean, here's where our polling is. We're moving in the right direction. We're where we need to be. He could feel the momentum and growth. You could sense a calmness, about J.D. and a, hey, we're right where we need to be, and we're going to make this happen. And I think I have seen that just continue, to your point, the entire campaign, from Trump to surrogates to others, you know, building off of that momentum, knowing that our message is finally resonating in a way that the American people are responding. It's like we finally, I guess the better way to put that is we have finally broken through. The mainstream media has tried to deflect, not let President Trump and J.D. Vance tell their story and what they want to do for the American people. And fortunately for us, we've broken through. And the truth is, the more people see about Kamala, the more they see her out there, the more they see her answer questions. I mean, goodness gracious, with that Brett Baer interview,
yeah,
the more they realize there is no way, not only is she not right on the issue, but she is incapable of leading this nation forward. And so you're right. It feels good. And I know we can't take anything for granted. We certainly have to be vigilant in every state, in every way, make sure that every vote is counted, that we continue to encourage people by knocking doors, making phone calls, talking to our friends, not just here at home, but across the country, making sure they know what's at stake. But even in the Senate races, Phil, we are right where we need to be to hopefully have a really good night on November 5th.
No, I agree, because I think the presidency is key. We've got to have it, but we got to also have the House and the Senate. And I look forward to seeing a complete sea change in D.C. And then it's going to be necessary, I think, because there's so much to have to unwind at this point. But Senator, somebody who, and I think I mentioned it before last time you were on the air, somebody who I know that you're personal friends with, and I've gotten to where I actually really appreciate him, is Democrat Senator John Fetterman. And he recently said,
absolutely,
he's warning people right now. He's a Democrat. He's an avowed Democrat. He gets it. He's a true believer, but he also speaks truth. And he said recently that Democrats better wake up, because Trump's chances of winning his home state of Pennsylvania are pretty strong. He said, quote, he has a special kind of place in that state.
You know, and look, obviously it is well documented that John and I have, you know, many political beliefs that are different, but John and I are good friends, and Wesley and I are proud to call he and Giselle friends. We've gotten to know them, and to your point, that's exactly right. He speaks truth, and he understands Pennsylvania when it comes to, you know, from being lieutenant governor to now serving in this space. And to have someone of his stature and willingness to put it out there, say that, that lets you know that the momentum on the ground there in Pennsylvania, you know, a state that up until a couple of weeks ago, Democrats were sure they were going to hold. I mean, to the point where she didn't even pick Shapiro because she thought she had that one, you know, locked up. I think that's shifting. And even now, that Senate race, Bob Casey, longtime incumbent, and Dave McCormick is in a different spot. It is literally neck and neck. And let me tell you how else you know this. You see Bob Casey now running campaign ads, Phil, running campaign ads with Donald Trump in them. And he is not the only Democratic incumbent who's doing that. Tammy Baldwin is also doing that in Wisconsin. And then you see Sherrod Brown, who is anything but a moderate, running as a moderate and sending out mailers talking about how he worked with Donald Trump. And that shows you right there, people want the common sense practicality of Donald Trump back in the White House. They want a leader who wants to put America, American opportunity, American citizens, American businesses in the very best place possible to succeed, unlike what we're seeing out of Biden-Harris, where they let the border be wide open, where they don't stand up for even American companies. We've seen this with Vulcan in Mexico, allowing Mexico to seize their property.
Yes.
It's really unimaginable. And then what were the chaos we're seeing across the globe, putting Americans at risk? It's just people are ready for a change. And to your point, you can feel it. And it's got to be a big night, not just for the president, but we want it to be for the House and the Senate as well.
Well, and there's plenty of news out there. And one of the things that's it's a news story, in my opinion, it's kind of an aggregate here, but is that the Democrats continue to factionalize the nation. They divide everybody up into little sectors, little pots. And they have they're determined to go after the black vote, and they do so with pandering, and they're determined to ignore the Catholic vote by skipping the dinner last night in New York City, and then they're scared to death of supporting Jews too strongly because it might alienate the Arab Palestinian faction vote, and I think what they're doing though is they're angering everybody because they can't please anybody.
Bingo. And it also shows you that their moral compass is broken. I mean,
yeah,
they're not standing firm on anything but the fact that they are going to tell everybody what they want to hear and or retreat and be weak. And look, it's that weakness that we've seen from the White House, you know, treating Iran with, like, if you appease them, if you try to be friends with them, they're going to all of a sudden, you know, share our values and be nice. No, that's not how it works. And when you see her even talk to Bret Baier and try to blame Trump for Iran, when they are the ones that refuse to actually enforce sanctions, they are the ones that have chosen this path of don't, which obviously, as you and I have talked before, our adversaries just hear do every time they say that. I think you're right. And I think at the end of the day, too, they don't have Americans' best interest at heart in what they're doing at the border and what they're doing abroad. And if they do, it's sure a funny way of showing it. And I think Americans can feel it. I really do, Phil. I mean, are you hearing that from your listeners and people that you in the community with, church, all the things? I mean, are they seeing that too?
Absolutely. I mean, I know for a fact that to some degree I run in a bubble. So within the bubble, I certainly am hearing that there's a sense that they don't have America's best interest at heart. But I think that the broader public is feeling that. And I think that what's happening is the undecided voters are finally becoming decided. The vote is gelling. And I think that's very, very, very telling. And let me ask you this. You mentioned and abroad. Speaking of abroad, I want to ask you, since you're in the D.C. environment right now, the response to the fact that Israel continues to decapitate the worst of the worst in the Middle East. And yesterday they finally caught Yahya Sinwar, the leader of the Hamas faction. And
amazing.
It really was amazing. I mean, Israel has become like extremely adept. If you're out there, they will find you. But what's the mood like in D.C.?
Isn't that the way you want to be known?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way you want to be known?
Right.
It's like if you come for me, you can go hide. But guess what? I will find you. And that is what Israel has said. And look, I mean, you think back to October 7th and obviously just the devastation and the barbaric terrorist attack. And there were so many, even this ground invasion, think about Sinwar. So you have Kamala Harris saying, I've studied the map and a ground invasion will not work in Rafah.
Yes.
Well, aren't we glad they didn't listen to Kamala Harris? Aren't they glad that they went in? And because otherwise he would still be out there plotting, killing more innocent Jewish people and America. Because think about this. Remember, death to America, death to Israel. That's what we've got to take a step back and just applaud Israel for making sure that barbaric terrorists are no longer on the face of this globe. Look, and I think when you see what they've done and what they've been able to accomplish, I mean, whether it's, gosh, I mean, think about the beepers. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know,
huge.
You've been in this world. The amount of time and intentionality and connectivity and then quiet. I mean, that never leaked. And you know how long they had to be working on it. And to send that message of, we know who you are, we know where you are, and we know how to get to you immediately in a way that creates confusion, destruction. I mean, it was amazing. And then you pull out walkie-talkies when your beepers, and then we'd go there. And then you come out from hiding underneath these tunnels, and we'll find you there. So I think this is a real moment. If this could be a moment for peace. If the people of Gaza will release, if those that are still with Hamas and those that are not will release these innocent hostages, these people, that the American citizens, Israeli citizens, all across the board, release them and let there be a time, you know, put your weapons down and let's forge a path forward. And, you know, I'm hopeful in those regards, but obviously not naive. And we've got to have leadership that's willing to say, hey, we're going to enforce these sanctions against Iran. I mean, if you look back under Trump administration, even the New York Times said both Hezbollah and Hamas were literally bankrupt. Yeah. And that's because we used every tool in our toolbox. And I'm not talking about the lethal ones. We used the non-lethal tools in our toolbox to make them feel the pain, and they did. And we've got to go back to doing those things, and we certainly have to stand with our greatest ally in the Middle East, and that is that's most definitely Israel.
I think one of my favorite quotes in recent days has been one of your colleagues, Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, said the only people left in Hezbollah were the ones who weren't important enough to have a beeper or a walkie-talkie.
That is so Tom Cotton. I always call Tom, you know, when Tom is on the Intelligence Committee. He obviously has served honorably in our armed forces. He's a member of the Armed Services Committee. And so I will call him frequently, you know, just saying, hey, look, here's what I'm seeing. This is what I've read. Here's what I'm gathering. Like, or, you know, what else? And those are some of the best conversations, because Tom is just directly to the point, and obviously stands firmly with our men and women in uniform, but also understands how to truly achieve peace through strength. And so I always enjoy hearing how Tom is going to react to one of these things.
Well, Senator, I hate it, but we're out of time. But I really appreciate you making some time on a Friday afternoon. And in the meantime, stay in touch. And 18 days, let's see this thing all the way through to a new day, I hope.
Hey, absolutely. And hey, and thank you for bringing up Israel. I mean, they not only have a right, they have a duty to defend themselves and their people. And so thank you for bringing up that as well. And let's get this done. 18 days. Let's
all right. Senator Katie Britt, thanks so much. Right. Have a great weekend. That's take us to the break there, JP, but that's just cool. And I really appreciate the fact that her staff reached out and said, you got time for her to call in because she may have some commentary. And yes, she did. All right, listen, we're going to come back, take some text messages, and then bottom of the hour, we're going to keep going with Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.